So it's safe to say that last week was not a terribly great week for Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano.
You know, I regret that in the politicization of everything that happens in Washington, D.C., some took offense. But when you read the report, what it was saying is, look, we have a threat of terrorism within our own shores. And one of the groups being targeted to see if they will be aligned with that are some of our veterans.
Janet Napolitano yesterday on CNN's State of the Union responding to an internal Homeland Security memo that said that the current economic and political climate is energizing so-called right-wing extremist groups to recruit members from the U.S. military into their ranks. Well, does economics and politics have an impact on so-called right-wing extremist groups and the likelihood of people to become terrorists? It was an opportunity for us to invite Charles Blow back into the studio from our partner, the New York Times. He's an op-ed writer and loves to dig into these kinds of questions and assumptions. Is this a myth when you look closely at the idea that terrorism goes up in these hard economic times? Charles Blow, and welcome back.
Well, I'm glad to be here. There are two issues there. One is whether or not the hate groups gain some traction during hard economic times.
Right.
There seems to be no evidence of that being true. I mean, if you look back across time, in the 30s, the Klan was at its height in the 20s. In the 30s, they kind of lost a lot of steam. And a lot of people have done some scholarship on this. There doesn't seem to be a link there. However, hate crimes may be a different thing. They're not necessarily tied to hate groups. A lot of people who carry out hate crimes do so as what they called in this report lone wolves.
So if there is a spike, it's unrelated statistically. It's an anomaly. It's a coincidence.
Unless you see a spike in hate crimes themselves. I mean,
right.
There's one group that you have seen a rise in hate crimes, and that is victims who are Hispanic.
Really?
Yes. Now, the Hispanic victims of hate crimes, they are this year at an all-time high relative to the entire track record since the FBI has been keeping these data since 1995. Now, but that's only slightly above other waves in hate crimes against Hispanics. And so some of that may be tied to when it flares up as a debate issue on the national stage, and some of that may be tied to harder economic times.
You know, it's worth noting that 14 years ago, Timothy McVeigh decided to blow up the Oklahoma City Murrow Building at the height of one of the historically longest prosperities in U.S. history. What about this issue of the military, people in the military being a target of terrorist groups of any kind?
Well, you know, it's kind of a well-known fact that these hate groups like people with military experience. They covet it. The people who have military experience and are in hate groups generally rise to leadership positions in those groups. In fact, some leaders of these groups actively encourage their followers to join the military, to join either the special services because that's will they get better training, or to join the infantry for the coming of their mythical, never seems to have or come race war.
And we've heard the story,
yeah.
Helter Skelter.
Yeah.
But that's a complicated set of inputs and outputs. I mean, if you've got a predisposition of some of these groups to join the military, that means there would probably be a predisposition to rejoin after you get out of the military.
Right.
What's the likelihood of turning someone in the middle of hard economic times? If they're a military veteran, they come back from Iraq, maybe they're struggling to make ends meet like the rest of us.
Right. Well, I think there is some likelihood there. But, I mean, you have a combination of factors, one of them being the hard economic times. You have veterans coming back with fewer job options. And according to a RAND report that was issued last Friday, 300,000 returning veterans have either expressed symptoms of deep depression or post-traumatic stress syndrome. And so you have a fragile group of people who may be more, kind of fertile ground for recruiting.
And that's an important public health issue that already veterans groups say is not being addressed by the government. And so that vulnerability raises a whole other set of issues besides terrorism.
Absolutely. It's not addressed nearly enough. In that same report, they say that only half of that 300,000 will seek help, and only half of the ones who seek help will get anything approaching adequate.
Well, the reason why I love to invite you back on questions like this, Charles, is because, you know, it allows me to ask once again the question, so how does a report like this get made? I mean, what's the office? What's the mission? Is it statistically based? Is it academic? Is it just, let's get some headlines? This will work.
I mean, I have no idea the motivation. And I do think that it could have had a bit more attribution. This was not the first of its kind. These are not new statements that it makes. But because it doesn't have a lot of attribution, it opens itself up for attack. And I think that's a problem with the report.
Finally, before we go, what do you make of all of the backlash from right-wing commentators, veterans groups? Hey, this is totally outrageous. They protest too much or what?
I think that's silly, but I also think that that's a problem in the PR of selling the report. I mean, I think she has it right in her rebuttal a bit, which is that these guys are potential victims. You're not trying to vilify them going in.
Well, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano is apologizing, but deep in the statistics and the trends themselves, Charles Blow, New York Times op-ed writer, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.